Okay, great. I'd like to welcome everybody and thank you for taking your time to come out. Members, thank you for attending. And I don't recognize we may have planning commissioners, park and rec commissioners, and other committees, and we thank you for attending. And of course, all of you are very much appreciated. So we'll go ahead and get started. What I would like to do is introduce the project manager for the consultant team of DUDEC, April Winecki. She's the project manager, and April has very strong experience and background in coastal planning. In fact, she used to work as a staff member for the Planning Commission. So we'll go ahead, and I'll invite April to get us started.
Thanks, Dennis. Good morning. As Dennis mentioned, my name is April Winecki. I'm with DUDEC Engineering and Environmental. We also have some additional team members here today. Allison Evans is at the back table there, and Tom Falk is over here at the back table, and Paul Amberg, I believe, is still manning the sign-in sheet out there. I'm going to spend a little bit of time, walk you through the agenda for today's workshop, and spend a little bit more time talking about some of the things that we're going to be presenting for you today. So we've had our welcome and introductions from Dennis. We're going to talk about the Coastal Commission appeals process this morning a little bit, and the alternative sites analysis work plan, which is on this poster board right over here, so I'll touch base on that a bit. I'm going to review with you the format of the workshop so you have a bit of a heads up on what to expect. After the open forum workshop, we're going to have a summary forum, just a kind of a wrap-up from individuals who are presenting the information at each one of these tables so that we can give a brief presentation on what we've heard from you today in addition to whatever written comments you might be submitting. And then we're going to open it up for public comments so that anybody who wants to address us and the participants here today can come on up to the microphone and provide their comments verbally. And then we'll have some closing remarks. So I am going to speak a little bit more in detail about the Coastal Commission's appeal process, our work plan for the next couple months, and again, kind of the open forum portion of the workshop. Before I do, just a couple of logistics. There are agendas available on the front table. Those agendas have the website in which you can submit comments. We also have an information handout that summarizes the information that's being presented at each one of our workstations here around the room. We really want to encourage you to submit comments in writing if at all possible. We also have written comment forms. Please just use one if possible. We are trying to minimize the amount of paper that's being generated for this process. And again, take advantage of that website anytime you want to submit a written comment there. We'll definitely be receiving those and compiling them with all the other written comments that we're receiving today. So just a quick overview of the Coastal Commission appeal process. You know, past actions, we know that in December 2008, the Regional Water Quality Control Board and MBCSD entered into a settlement agreement to upgrade the existing plant to full secondary treatment. In January 2011, the City Council approved the coastal development permit and certified the final EIR on appeal from the Planning Commission. And then the Coastal Commission's mandatory appeal period ran from January 18th to the 31st, during which the Coastal Commission received several appeals for the project. They held their first hearing in March 2011, in which they found that the appeal submitted raised a substantial issue with respect to the project's consistency with the certified LCP. Now, it's important to note that at that hearing, the Coastal Commission didn't reject or modify the existing project in any way, but they did specifically indicate that the appeals raised significant issues, and they provided pretty specific direction with respect to additional information that was required in order for them to consider the project. And that brings us to where we're at today. So our current actions basically consist of the first step would be conducting a robust alternative sites analysis. This was something that the Coastal Commission specifically directed. The first step of that is what we're calling rough screening. It's phase one of our work plan. And basically, this is going to be a fatal flaws analysis for potential alternative sites that are identified through this process. We have certain sites that have already been identified during the final EIR process and the Coastal Commission's appeal process. We have that information available for you today so you can see what's already been identified, and we'll be looking for your input on any additional sites that might be out there that we should be looking at as part of this process. The results of that will then feed into basically our phase two scope of work, and that's going to be a fine screening analysis. So any of those potential alternative sites that are forwarded, try to speak to a slide that you guys probably can't see very well. It is presented on this poster board over here at Station 2. And so that basically outlines the phase 1, 2, and 3 scope of works, the steps that are going to occur during that, and probably what a lot of people will be interested in is when is the public going to have their participation. And so we've identified when the public workshops would be held, meetings with the JPA, and also the Coastal Commission coordination that will occur during that time. We've targeted dates for specific meetings with them so that they're fully engaged throughout the process as well. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the format of our what we're calling our open forum. Essentially, we're going to provide about 45 minutes for people just to wander around the room so that they can visit each one of our information stations, take a look at the information that we've compiled to date. And really, this is the opportunity for just an open dialogue. Have the alternative sites, are they the most robust alternatives analysis that we can do? Are there additional sites that we should be taking a look at? Specifically screening criteria, what are the criteria that we're going to use in that alternatives analysis? Have we identified the right criteria? Have we missed some? Are there some that are inappropriate? That's the type of feedback that we'll be looking for today, and that's really going to play into how we move forward with the alternatives analysis. We have four stations, and I'm going to go through each one of those really quickly with you right now. Back here, we have Station 1. That's the alternative sites analysis station, and it also lists the screening criteria groups that we'll be looking at. So as I mentioned, we have a certain number of sites that have already been identified during the public process. They're presented on a poster board for you to take a look at. You can see what their location is, how they were generated, and then offer any additional suggestions regarding that. Also, with respect to the screening criteria, if there are any other groups of screening criteria that we've missed, that would be an opportunity for you to present those comments as well. Over here at Station 2, we have, again, the work plan. Be happy to take a look at that with you, show you where the public participation process is and how each one of those steps are going to occur. And we're also going to be addressing environmental considerations and LCP policies that might be applicable during the alternatives analysis. So we've scoped out what we think to be the criteria that we should be using. We got comments last night, so we'll be supplementing that list as you see it today. And of course, anything else that we hear today, we'll be taking a look at that as well. Over here at Station 3, this is our logistics and site constraints screening criteria. Talking about things such as land use, zoning, regulatory requirements, property ownership, things like that. So if you have questions or you're curious about those screening criteria, this is you're going to want to talk to these gentlemen right over here. And then finally at the back, we've got our engineers, and they'll be handling questions, comments, presenting information on water reclamation feasibility. And some of the screening criteria that we're looking at that right now would be with respect to recycled water opportunities and economic factors. So if you've got engineering questions, technology comments, Station 4 is the place for you. I'm going to answer just a couple questions. We've already started receiving a lot of comments via the website, so we really appreciate that. And we've had some comments regarding just the format and the logistics of the workshop that we thought it'd be good to run through with everybody. How much time is going to be allocated for public comments? As we mentioned, you've got 45 minutes just to wander around the room, pick up a comment form, write down comments as they come to mind as you're taking a look at all the information that's being presented. We'll also have a 30-minute public comment period for anybody who wants to address today's participants. And then initially, we anticipated having the comment period close this Friday at July 1st. We received some comments yesterday about extending that comment period, so we're going to extend it through July 15th. So any comments that we receive during that period, we'll be considering as we move forward with the alternatives analysis. We had some questions about timing. What if there are more public comments than time allows? We came pretty darn close last night because we had so many participants, but I'm assuming 30 minutes will be enough time for anybody who wants to come up and provide verbal comments. We'll get a sense of how many people want to speak verbally and limit the amount of time for each speaker so that everybody has an opportunity to speak. And again, basically any written comments that you want to submit between now and July 15th, we'll be taking a look at those. There will be a follow-up meeting to this workshop. Once we get all of your input, we'll be moving forward with that alternatives analysis, and we'll be preparing a draft summary of the analysis that's been conducted, and we'll be presenting that at the JPA. There will be additional opportunities to comment and ask questions at that time. And finally, all the comments that we do receive, we'll be compiling all of those into one document and attaching them as an appendix to...
Have you take your seats, and we'll resume the program. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. I hope everyone's had an adequate time to visit the tables and express your thoughts and get some comments on the topics that are being discussed at the various tables. During this part of the workshop, what we're going to do is have a representative from each table come up to the microphone and give a brief summary of feedback that they have received from you at each of their tables. And so we'll start with table one. Allison, have I given you enough time to get ready? Okay. You're always ready. Okay.
Thank you all so much for being here and for stopping by. I really enjoyed speaking with some of you and hope some of the information that was presented you guys are able to take back and provide us with additional specific comments so that we can really move forward with a thorough evaluation. Our station, Station 1, was looking at potential alternative sites and then the groupings of the candidate criteria for the rough screening. As part of the kind of background for why we even have any sites identified thus far, and there were some comments about why are the proposed project or the Chorro Valley, or if any of these sites have already been deemed infeasible, why are we even looking at them? We took all the information that has been received thus far, so the Coastal Commission appeals letters, the comments that were provided through the environmental process, and that's where these sites were teased from. And that's what we have put forward. And we are looking at all the additional sites and all the additional information that you have provided today and last night, and we'll be including all of these considerations as we move forward. So it's not just narrowly defined. We're trying to take as much information as possible and really really go forward with our robust alternatives analysis. A couple of the comments we heard, and this is just a very general speaking, we had a lot of people tell us that they think site number 5, which is the Chevron site, is a very good site for several purposes. A couple questions about whether any sites located in the Cayucas service area, would that be a separate plant just serving Cayucas District? Would it be a separate plant for Morro Bay, or would it be one plant that services both? people pointed out, and we heard comments about the liquefaction zones, the floodplain, and any of the sites that are in the tsunami wave run-up area, and to ensure that we take into consideration whether or not that's even feasible to build up outside above, or if we even should be considering that. There was a site identified, a new site up, I think it's the power plant site, located uphill. It is near avocado orchards, and we received a lot of good feedback about why it should be considered and some of the positive implications of that site. We also heard that there are questions about pumping uphill, questions about piping existing. How would these sites be considered in context of the existing infrastructure? And I'm sure that the engineers also got additional questions specific because we sent them over. In regards to current regulations, how are all these decisions being made in context of local, state, and federal regulations, ultimately who has the final say? And a couple additional questions. Can sites be extended or can infrastructure be extended outside of the approved service areas and or the urban limit lines? And what happens if a site, if it's known up front that the site's not feasible, are we still going to move forward with evaluation? So all great comments, really appreciate it. We will be taking all of them into consideration and trying to come up with a means of addressing all of that. So thank you. And now to Station 2.
Okay. Thanks again, you guys, for participating today and providing us with your thoughts and input. We had a lot of repeat comments, so I'm going to be brief here. And just general questions about, you know, what would a plant look like in another location. And other than that, that's about what that summarizes what we got verbally today. Thank you.
Good afternoon. We were at Station 3. And Station 3 is all about criteria having to do with logistics and site constraints, basically land use, zoning, proximity to existing lines, and information like that. And it seems like I think that the people in favor of 5 went from table to table. So we have the same comments. 5 apparently for this group is an alternative they'd like to see looked at, and obviously we'll be looking at all of them. We did have a couple other issues. There was a discussion of hydrogen sulfide coming out of the Cayugas and down into Morro Bay to look at that, and maybe one of the reasons why 5 might be a good site. There was issues about Native Americans' concerns on the existing site. There was discussions of moving the whole thing outside the coastal zone, and maybe that would get us out of the issues with the Coastal Commission. And then, of course, there was discussions about the 100-year flood and tsunamis having to do with the current site or any sites that we look at as far as keeping it out of the 100-year floodplain areas. Most of that is what we had today at our table, and thank you very much.
Well, we didn't do a great job staying on topic today. We talked about all sorts of stuff other than just reclaimed water. In terms of water reclamation, we had the comment that we need to move to a sustainable future, that we need to consider different forms of beneficial reuse, and then we got a lot of comments on groundwater recharge and making sure that we look at that without any kind of bias or relying too heavily on the historical data that's out there. We got some recommendations that we should look at the bookends. So what does it look like if it's a zero discharge plant and you're doing full beneficial reuse? What would it look like if you're doing some partial beneficial reuse? How big of a reservoir would you need to build if you wanted to capture and store all that water? We got the recommendation that we should team with Los Osos for the disposal of our wastewater, and also recommendation to look at providing agricultural water for the Chorro Valley for use on irrigated crops, not with livestock production. And we also got comments on going to the Chevron site, so we heard that as well. We got some concerns about what happens when you blend water and blend water of different qualities, so how would that impact? The concern was when you get bad water. We got cautioned on basically artificially screening out sites that deserve an analysis. So they didn't want to see the analysis cut short just because of the cost of doing the analysis. They wanted, if there were sites that warranted being looked at, that they'd be looked at, whether that was 3, 4, 5, or 6. And then also got some comments on the use of lobbyists and consultants and to avoid using consultants where we could. So that was what we heard at our table today.
Now we come to the part of the program where everyone is invited to speak to the group, if you'd like to. As we said earlier, there are several ways to provide your comments to us. If you've made written comments, we appreciate that. There's also the website that is available for you to provide your comments. And then the third way is to come right up to the microphone and speak to the group, and speak to all of us. You do not have to come up to the microphone. I want to make that clear. You're welcome to, though. So if you'd like to come up to the microphone, we'd like to ask that you limit your comments to about 3 minutes. That will give everybody an opportunity to speak. And Bruce is going to be our timekeeper, and he'll wave his hands when 3 minutes is up. And at that time, if you could wind up your comments, we'd really appreciate it. So. How many people would like to speak? Can I see your hands? Okay, great. Well, come on up one at a time and let us know your comments. Who's first?
Richard Sadowski, citizen of North Morro Bay. I'm also mechanical engineer and a certified wastewater collection system operator, grade 4. I worked at the Cayuga Sanitary District between 2003 and 2004, and during my time there, identified several collection problems, and in fact, rise, addressing climate change, also the huge H2S problem. While working at Cayuga Sanitary District, I had tested the H2S problem along Main Street. For those of you who live in North Main, between Yerba Buena and down south, the Cayuga Sanitary Sewer Line, all the sewage from Cayuga goes down that line about 250,000 gallons a day. And there's a huge H2S problem, especially around Island Street and back. These are the issues that need to be addressed with the clean, it's a Clean Air Act. And also, when we build a new plant, we should address the methane problem and address greenhouse gases. This will open up a lot of grant funding, and in my opinion, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding for a project like that if we make it a true green project. And as far as getting the infrastructure to in infrastructure repaired, and also using renewable energies for our lift stations like solar and wind energy, incorporating that into our project will open up also funding right now that's available. So in conclusion, I would say that in my opinion, because of the logistics and also the fact that we have a drinking water aquifer right under 41 that is being polluted by sewage at this time because of the dilapidated infrastructure. And I feel that we need to get our drinking water aquifers protected, and that is getting our sewer lines from out of them. Thank you.
When you say there's an H2S bar, you mean smell?
What I'm talking about is sewer gas. Basically, H2S is created in a sewer collection system, and because of Lift Station 5, basically cycles about every 20 minutes, the sewage is goes anaerobic, and then during the cycle pumps, when it pumps in there, it creates a huge, like a rotten egg smell. But H2S, if you look at the material data safety sheets, is a very it's quite toxic. And the proof pretty much is in the pudding. If you pop those manholes, it has a tendency of corroding concrete. And in fact, during my time at Cayucas, I had put in biofilters, and the filter material itself corroded the plastics. It's severe, and it's kind of a poor design, that whole line, because of the way it goes underneath Avapal Creek, and it's been an ongoing problem for years. So it'll be a good way to eliminate that and open up an opportunity for mitigating that that problem away. Thank you.
Linda Stedgy from Morro Bay. During a long career in software development, I had the opportunity to observe and participate in hundreds of projects. Some were small, taking one or two people a couple of weeks to do, and some were pretty big, requiring hundreds of people working in various countries around the world. There were good projects, average projects, and some really, really bad ones. I can honestly say that during that time, I never once saw a project where the customer's money was so completely wasted as it has been by those in charge of our wastewater treatment plant project. Here we are, years after the effort started, with a huge amount of taxpayer money spent, with absolutely nothing of any use to show for it. Some people say this happened because the people in charge are not qualified to run a project like this. Others say that there's something more sinister going on. But the bottom line is that the only ones who seem to have gotten any benefit from all our taxpayer dollars are the consultants that were hired to do useless work that now must be redone. For those who have not read it, I highly recommend Colin Wrigley's recent New Times article, Consultant Waste, which deals specifically with this project. A big part of the problem has been, in my opinion, the refusal of those in charge to listen to anyone outside of their circle. They ignored advice for the Coastal Commission, some of it given years ago, and throughout the life of the project, they ignored warnings and advice from highly qualified residents. They pressed on, determined to use completely outmoded technology for a plant to be built on a site that is so utterly and ridiculously unsuitable that it seems they couldn't have found a worse one if they tried. So here we are. Will things get better? Maybe now that the Coastal Commission is in charge of the permitting process. Also, there is some hope in the fact that the new consulting firm we have here, Dudek, seems to be the only one we've ever had on this project that there's no negative press for. It's a refreshing change. One thing is certain, we all need to be involved and continue to encourage the involvement of the Coastal Commission and, if possible, other state agencies. Without that, millions more of our tax dollars will be wasted, and we are likely to... The history of the project has proven that we can't trust the local governments to do what's right. Thank you.
No one else? Okay, come on up, sir. Two more. Sure. Just come on up when one person is finished, and we'll keep going until either we've run out of time or until we have no more speakers.
Good afternoon. I have a property in North Main, North Morro Bay, and I was in the pipe trades for 40 years. I actually worked on a treatment plant for 2 years some time ago. So long ago, it's kind of history. However, out of this, I want to observe that the cost quoted for plants is not like a cost for computers for schools. Next year, the computer will be outdated, and you'll be asked to cough up with the same amount of money again. The plants probably last just about forever, properly designed, especially nowadays. So I would suggest that we build it with all the bells and whistles, build it right the first time in the right place, and I would trust the consultants that give sound engineering advice for perhaps as opposed to quasi-political organizations, read in here, Coastal Commission, which may have some people that never had one day in the trades, no engineering background, other than they can stand up and be dynamic and convincing and are there squeaking wheels. Much of the Coastal Commission I've seen is mind-numbing in their reasoning. However, that's just my opinion. But I believe sound consultant engineering is well worth the money. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jack McCurdy. I'm a Moore Bay resident. I want to read a few lines from a letter that was sent from the Coastal Commission staff to the city and the Cayucos Sanitary District Board on November 12, 2010. This was before the city and the district submitted their wastewater treatment plant project to the commission. As described in the city's water management plan status report of December 2008, the reliability of state water has decreased due to judicial decisions regarding endangered fish species and concerns about global warming. Local coastal plan policy, that's the city's local coastal plan, states that, quote, even with the delivery of state water, use of reclaimed water is the city's second highest priority after conservation and remains a productive source of potential conservation for both large and small scale projects. The LCP policy goes on to state that reclaimed water should be required as part of a wastewater plant upgrade, required. Therefore, the LCP clearly requires the city to pursue water reclamation as part of the wastewater treatment plant project. Furthermore, the use of reclaimed water would help the city meet its water supply needs and ensure water supply is available for priority uses as required by the LCP, especially if and when state water is restricted or becomes unavailable. Reclaimed water could be used for many purposes, including agriculture, irrigation inside or outside of the district service area, injection wells to maintain and enhance the water quality, and biological resources associated with both the Choro and Morro groundwater basins, as required by the LCP. As proposed, the upgraded wastewater treatment plant project would produce 1.5 million gallons a day of high-quality tertiary treated water, but only a very small portion of that would be reclaimed. Now, this is a project the city submitted. The remainder would be discharged into the ocean, both causing impacts to aquatic resources and wasting an important water supply. The environmental impact report must provide details for project alternatives, and such alternatives should provide increased quantities of reclaimed water, with at least one alternative providing details about the potential to claim 100% of wastewater produced. And information about
basically information is power. Community involvement is so important in this one particular project that could impact all of us and our children for so long. I don't know a lot about it. That's why I'm here. I just encourage you all to share with your neighbors, talk to everybody in the grocery store, wherever. The more impact we can get at these meetings, the more they can help us do the right thing. I also say, please build it right the first time so we don't have to go back and do it again. It really is up to the public and our involvement to make sure that we help our experts as much as possible. And I thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful project that will serve all of us well.
Good afternoon. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. I had the chance to briefly look at the contract that this consultant has been asked to perform. And one of the big issues is reclaimed water. And the thing that struck me was the fact that one of the assumptions that has been made is that the aquifer, the basin, the Chorro Basin, Morro Basin, would not accept the recharge. So there's been some questioning. I guess my point is some of the assumptions that have been used and been given to the engineers to do the report appear to need to be reexamined. I think I heard that the environmental impact report that was done on that basin was done in 1984. And if you're trying to base a recharge in a basin on a 1984 study, we've seen a lot of changes, mostly drying in our valleys here. So what I'm saying is that I think we need to look and examine each of the assumptions that have been given our consultants to do their job, because if the assumptions are wrong, the project will be flawed. Thank you.
Jim Pauley, Morro Bay. And in talking to people and hearing what they're saying as well, that number five, the location in Toro area, was a preferred one, at least what I heard. It has to be one of the leaders. And I think we need to encourage the staff and the consultants to really pursue right now the zoning situation, because who knows what amount of time it'll take. And if there's any concern with recharging the valley with water and so on, check that out too. But really push that strong. And I hope it's not discounted as, well, just not a good place to do it, but really do a good search.
Anyone else? Well, I'd like to thank everyone for taking your time on this beautiful day to come out here. We really value all of the input we received, and we especially appreciate all the courtesy that you've shown. Also like to extend to you an invitation to tour the wastewater treatment plant. Just call the plant anytime you like, and I know that Morro Bay and Cayucas would be happy to give you a tour. So with that, I'll adjourn the meeting, and everybody have a great day.